What happens in the act of baptism? Why do we baptize infants? Do we really need to be baptized in order to live a Christian life? And what about the water? Why water? You see, for an act that is so central to our faith, most of us have very little understanding about the meaning of baptism in our own lives. So throughout this month, we're going to be focusing on baptism. And we're not just going to be talking about it. Today we're going to have an experience of anointing, and next week we are going to be reaffirming our baptism through water and through word. We will even open up for those that are called to baptism, have never been baptized. Maybe next week is the week that God is calling you to begin this journey. So make sure you're here next week. But we're going to be talking about and experiencing baptism. Baptism is an act of naming and knowing one's identity within the community and individually before God. Baptism is a recommitment of a creation with its creator. Baptism is a bond of love. Maybe you've heard me say this before, because this is straight out of our baptismal service, these words. These are words that I say at every baptism, right before the water is sprinkled or poured, or right before someone is immersed in the waters. And these words, they remind us that baptism isn't a one-time single event. Baptism is about what God has already done, what God will continue to do in and through you because of the grace that we are given through Jesus Christ. Baptism helps us to reclaim our true identity. Our passage this morning from Matthew's Gospel takes us to the banks of the River Jordan. It is here at the very beginning. It's the very beginning of Jesus' ministry that he goes there to the banks of the Jordan River. And he goes there because on some level, I have to believe that Jesus needed to reclaim his own identity of who he was and who he was called to be. And so as you hear the scripture read this morning, I want you to put yourself on the banks of the Jordan. This is the River Jordan is a dirty river. I'd love to say it's all clean and no. The Jordan River, and it's a cold river. But I want you to put yourself on the banks of the Jordan River. Imagine that you are watching as Jesus is being baptized and hearing that voice from heaven. And I want you to hear it for yourself as well. The scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I left my Bible down here. This is why I'm walking down here. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And since it is the Gospel of our Lord, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for its reading. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Who am I? As well as we may think we know ourselves, most of us are left with questions when it comes to our identity. And Facebook is filled with quizzes. I don't know if you've ever taken any of these wonderful quizzes on Facebook. They tell you what country you should live in, what your best color is, and what Disney princess you most are like. I've not taken maybe I've taken one of them. We take tests to tell us what job best suits us. We take Myers-Briggs tests to find out what is our personality like. Are we introverted? Are we extroverted? How do we relate to other people? And where would we best fit in the world? We take tests that talk about how we're in relationship to one another. There are numerous tests to help us see more clearly who we are. And yet, we still seem to struggle with this question, who am I? When I met with the new confirmation class back in November, that was our first question. Who am I? We read the passage from Exodus 3 where God reveals God's self to Moses at the burning bush. And Moses says, God, if I'm going to go to them, who am I going to say that sent me? And God said, I am who I am. I am all in all. You see, the Bible is filled with numerous ways of describing the names of God. God as a shepherd. God as the Lord that heals. God as the mighty one. God as the everlasting God. God as the Lord of peace. God as Emmanuel. God with us. There are numerous names to describe the character of God. But just as the character of God is multifaceted, so are we. We have numerous roles, gifts, talents, personality types that define who we are. And so it's really hard to come up with one statement about who we are. So it's no wonder that we struggle with our identity. We are also at a time and a place where people like to identify and define us by many names. I am a Democrat, or I am a Republican. I am conservative or liberal. I am an American, or I am a foreigner. I am gay, or I am straight, rich or poor, black or white, and the list goes on and on. Additionally, we are also increasingly named by the brands that we wear, or the products that we use, or the stores that we shop. In my family, we are mostly Apple, except we have one who is not. whether it's Nike or Tiffany, we don't have any Tiffany, Hollister, or we claim these names. They tell us something or about who we are. At least we think they do. They say something about who we are and want to be and what we believe in. And increasingly, the labels on our shirts and our shoes and our cars and our computers convey part of our identity. But I think that our struggle goes deeper than talents or roles or labels. Many of us find our identity in the failures of our past. It's the voices that tell us that we have no value. What we've done in the past is who we will be in the future, and we will never really amount to anything more. Recently, I've been thinking about static electricity, probably because every time I go to turn on the light, I'm shocked. Whether it's the light switch or the socks that get stuck in the dryer. Somebody said that if you put a dryer sheet in your pocket, it will help static cling. I don't know if that's true or not. But I think in many ways we are like static cling. Hear me out. The truth is that in many ways our lives are like static cling. We cling to our past pains. We cling to our broken relationships, our addictions, our losses, and our failures. We hold tight to them, and soon they become all that we can see. Who am I? I am a failure. Who am I? I am an outcast. I am an addict. I am a victim. I am not pretty enough, or thin enough, or strong enough, or smart enough. I am the forgotten one. I am unworthy. I am unloved. And these are the identities that seem to cling to us. John, in our passage today from Matthew's gospel, we hear a new promise. We hear a new message. John was preaching and he was baptizing in the River Jordan, and Jesus comes to the Jordan River. Now, none of this is shocking to us, because we've heard this before, but fellow theologian and pastor Rick Morley explains that Jesus choosing to go to the Jordan River was a very radical choice. It was a radical decision, and that would have been very, the people of that time would have seen this as a radical choice. You see, they had a way of dealing with sin, really explicit ways that you would deal with sin in this culture, biblical ways. You would go to the temple and you would make a sacrifice, and you would follow the laws that were written in Leviticus. Levitical law tells us that, of course, we sin. Sin is inevitable. But when you sin, the whole community is affected, and so you would have to handle this rightly. And the way that you would handle this rightly is that before you gave the sacrifice, you would wash yourself in one of the ritual baths heading up to the Temple Mount. And when we go to Jerusalem next January 22nd, mark your calendars, we are going to next January 2019, January 22nd, 2019, at 1 year from almost today, I will be leading a trip over to the Holy Land. And I hope that as many as are, it is a very reasonably priced trip, but it is a trip that you will never forget. It will open up your faith journey in ways you can't even begin to imagine. But when you are over in the Holy Land, there's these ritual baths everywhere, because they needed to continually wash themselves to be free of this sin. They would wash themselves in the pool of Siloam as they were making their way on the journey uphill to the Temple Mount. But this is not what Jesus did. He didn't go to one of these ritual baths. Jesus goes to the banks of the River Jordan. And the water here, as I said earlier, is not clean. It is filled with dirt, and it is filled with rocks that have been washed down from the banks of the River Jordan. Jesus came to the banks of the River Jordan because it was here that he wanted to proclaim a new message. And what was that message? What was that good news? The good news was the voice that came from heaven. You are loved. The Spirit of God descended like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." You see, in the baptism of Jesus, we are given a new model for God's relationship with his people. Brothers and sisters, this baptism of Jesus is our baptism. In the waters, we are made new. The sins that we have been washed away, just as the dirt and the rocks are washed down the River Jordan. You see, we don't have to cling to these identities that we have
held on to for so long. No more will we be defined by our failures, by the brokenness, by the pain and the loss of our past. No more will we be defined by what separates us from one another. No, our identity, our true identity, the one that was given to us before we even took our first breath, that identity is that we were marked by love. We are loved. You are loved. We are loved. Henry Nouwen puts it this way in his book, Life of the Beloved. He says, first of all, you have to keep unmasking the world about you for what it is. Manipulative, controlling, power hungry, and in the long run, destructive. The world will tell you many lies about who you are. And you simply have to be realistic enough to remind yourself of this. Every time you feel hurt, every time you are offended or rejected, you have to dare to say to yourself, these feelings, strong as they may be, are not telling me the truth about who I am. The truth, even though I can't feel it right now, is that I am a chosen child of God. Precious in God's sight, called beloved from all eternity, and held safe in that everlasting belief. Baptism strips away all that keeps us from that identity. It strips away all that keeps us from that message that we are chosen and beloved. The challenge for us is to claim that identity, to believe that we are truly loved, loved by God, and ultimately for us to share that message with the world. This love that we have found, we are called to share that with the world. And for most of us, the hardest part in believing this identity is that we don't feel worthy of love, worthy of being God's beloved. Later on in our service, you're going to be invited to come forward for a time of anointing. In Scripture, anointing has many different meanings. Sometimes anointing is for healing. And sometimes anointing, just when the kings were anointed because they were called and they were chosen for a purpose. Today, our anointing is a time of being chosen and called. It is a reminder of our identity as God's beloved. In this new year of the Lord, are you ready and able to claim this identity? Think about the possibilities of a life that is lived out of a place of love rather than of fear. Imagine a life based on love, not on pain and brokenness. Love, not on darkness and loss. Love is at the core of your very identity. Are you ready to claim it? And I get it. We need to claim it over and over and over again, which is why we put little strings around our finger to remember. In my newsletter this week, I shared a poem from Jan Richardson, and her words remind us of the challenge and the promise of claiming this identity, our identity as the beloved. So as we end, I'm going to end with this poem, this prayer, and I'm going to invite you into a time of prayer yourselves. Let these words speak to your heart. A reminder of who you are at the very core. Beloved, is there any other word needs saying, any other blessing could compare with this name, this knowing? Beloved, comes like a mercy to the ear that has never heard it, comes like a river to the body that has never seen such grace. Beloved,
comes holy to the heart, aching to be new, comes healing to the soul, wanting to begin again. Beloved, keep saying it. And though it may seem strange at first, watch how it becomes a part of you, how it becomes you, as if you never could have known yourself anything else, as if you could ever have been other than this. Beloved,